Michael, just as I introduced you to the audience, I used a term I found everywhere when I did my research. Mm-hmm. So this term is blogger. But to be honest, I don't actually think this term tells very much about a person. So you yourself, what would you say, which kind of a person are you?
Well, it's hard to describe myself. Blogger is a term very widely used in dictatorships, because in dictatorships, usually the state controls the media. So if you have an opinion, or if you are a journalist and you want to report things which the state doesn't want you to report it, then you have to report it on your own. So you have to start your own website or your site and start writing and reporting about what you think people should know and the state doesn't want them to know. That was what I have been doing like for the last 5 years, writing and reporting about things which the state doesn't want my people to know.
But beside the blogging, how would you?
Beside blogging, I am a political activist. I joined lots of parties, political parties in Egypt. I joined lots of human rights groups. I'm a member in Amnesty International. I campaign for defending political prisoners. I campaign for peace in the Middle East. I also lead a political movement under the name No for Compulsory Military Service, which oppose the obligatory military service in Egypt and campaign for peace and for nonviolent tools in solution of any conflict. So I have a wide range of activism, but blogging is my main tool to contact my readers and my supporters.
So with a focus on Egypt and its political situation, there are different groups of people fighting against each other. Talking in general, which groups are this and what are their differences of opinion?
I don't think it should be described correctly as several groups fighting each other. The point is that Egypt have been dictatorship over six decades, and people are fed up with this situation. They want to live in a free country. They need democracy, they need freedom, they need that the state respect their dignity and their humanity. And they started the revolution like 2 years ago, and lots of sacrifices were made, and nothing has improved. The first military took power, and the military was more cruel than Mubarak, and the human rights situation became worse. I was active like 5 years during Mubarak rule, and I was never imprisoned for more than 2 days. But when the military reached power, they put me in jail for 10 months. And then in last July, the military had a deal with Islamists, and they gave the power to Islamists through undemocratic election. And Islamists are making more violations to human rights. And now they are trying to pass an Islamic constitution which restricts freedoms and human rights, and my people are not happy with that and protesting, and Islamists are using their militias to oppress my people. Just yesterday, over five people were killed in protests around the presidential palace in Cairo by the militias of the Muslim Brothers.
As I read it about you, you are kind of non-religious, is it right?
Yes.
So in between these groups in Egypt, where would you locate yourself?
I'm in the side of the people who want democracy and freedom. Mm. And it's not like Muslim Brothers and Salafis are a big sector of society. It's just the dictatorship and the supporters of the dictatorship. And I can describe it as clash when one side brings weapons with them and the other side are protesting nonviolently. So like the day before yesterday, over 1 million demonstrators surrounded the presidential palace, and no one was injured, no one was attacked, no violence happened, and no one carried any weapons. But yesterday, the militias of the Muslim Brothers, they have guns, they have weapons, they have knives, and they use it. So you can't say a clash except if both sides having weapons.
How did you witness the announcement of resignation from former President Mubarak in 2011? Was it a good day for Egypt? Was there hope for democracy?
I understand it was a step forward, but I also understand it was an early, like, it was just the beginning. We understood that we have lots of time and lots of other hard times we have to pass. We didn't expect that everything can be solved in 1 or 2 weeks. The Egyptian dictatorship is very strong, and it lasted for over 60 years. And the state agents are infiltrating everything. It's like the former GDR, where the secret service isn't everywhere. There is no free media. There is no freedom of association. And we didn't expect that can be changed in 2 weeks. I understand it's moving forward. I still optimistic. I still see that it's going on the right direction, and the population who was prevented to have any political experience in the past, now they are gaining more and more experiences. Islamists are losing power in the streets, and that's why they are avoiding to have any new election, because they understand that people don't support them anymore. So I think we are moving in the right direction. Very slowly, but that's a normal process.
But as you told some minutes before, after Mubarak left, things got worse. Can you explain why this happened?
Let's say that the dictatorship have become more cruel when they understand that the regime is in danger. It's like an injured animal. It become more violent. To describe what happened, like, I was tried in front of a military trial, as an example. But I wasn't the only one. I was one of over 24,000 civilians who were tried in front of military trial after the revolution. And that happened like in 4 months, while in comparison with Mubarak stayed in power for 30 years, and the total number of civilians tried in front of military trial in these 30 years is not more than 1,000. So compare 1,000 with 24,000 civilians. It is the same with the number of activists killed in demonstrations. Like in the 17 months in which the military was in power, over 100 activists was killed in three huge massacres in Maspiro and in Mohammed Mahmoud and in front of the cabinet. So even the freedom of protest, like I still can't understand that someone go into a demonstration and in after a few hours, his family receive his dead body. So the freedom of association, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of religion, the freedom of expression, all these freedoms were violated by the military council last year. And in the end, when they couldn't last more in power, they had their deal with Islamists, and they give the power to Islamists in through unfree and undemocratic election. It was like very similar to the election in Belarus and Russia. It was just a play. It wasn't a serious free election.
Over the last days, we could hear and read much about new developments in Egypt. The current president Morsi tried to make himself and his political decisions untouchable. What fueled new demonstrations, fights and killings, and people tried to storm the palace, and Morsi left it for a special time for a safer place. Which chances and which dangers do you see in these new developments?
Actually, I understand that when Morsi uses violence, that means that he understands that he is weak. And when he uses the militia of the Muslim Brothers, that means that the police and the military don't support him anymore. And these significance symbolize that it's now the military and the police and the people are don't support him anymore. In this way, and I don't think also the international society will support a president in a state which doesn't have a parliament, which doesn't have election, which doesn't respect freedoms, and which is trying to pass a constitution which restricts freedoms. So if he doesn't have the international support and if he doesn't have the local support, I don't think Morsi will last for a long time.
As a blogger, you are yourself a blogger. What would you say? What is the role of the media, especially the new media like Facebook or blogs, in this conflict?
It opens a society. Dictatorships usually are described as closed societies because the state controls the media and controls the education, and so the state can control the ideas in the marketplace of the society. So the state can control what people are arguing about, what people are discussing, because they control what enters the society and what can get out of the society. New media broke the monopoly of the state over the media and give us the chance to introduce more ideas to the society and give the society the chance to express itself and write about what's happening. So like as an example of torture, people tortured in police stations, usually the state media doesn't write about this, but now we can write about it in the new media. I myself introduced the ideas about conscientious objection to the military service and the alternative civil service and changing the military service system in Egypt, the philosophy of pacifism and anti-militarism. All these ideas were not known in Egypt, and we were able to introduce these ideas to our society through the new media. So it gave us a tool to fight the state propaganda and the monopoly of a state over media.
How would you describe your life today, being in Germany, looking at Egypt from afar while there are conflicts, not to be able to report what you see, but just to rely on what media or other people are telling you? This has to be whole new situation for you. How do you handle it? How do you get along with it?
Actually, I receive information regularly through members of our movement. So my movement members are in the streets, our demonstrators are everywhere, and we are working together toward a civil state and nonviolent situation. So I'm not separated from society. I am here because I need an academic study in public policy or in politics, and I can't have this standard of academic study in Egypt, so I have to be outside Egypt to have this academic study. But that doesn't mean that I'm separated from the situation, because my brother and my friends and members in my movement are still there and participating in most of the events, and we are usually speaking about it. Maybe the only difference that I'm not in danger as much as I used to be in Egypt.
What were your feelings and your thoughts when you decided to leave Egypt?
Actually, it was a step planned from a long time. As I said before, I needed the academic study, and I can't have it in Egypt, so I have to take it in the United States or in Europe. And I wasn't allowed to make this step before the revolution, because for a long time I wasn't allowed to travel out of Egypt because of not serving in the military. And just 1 month before the revolution, I got my final exemption from the military service, and that gave me the chance for the first time to travel. Then I was involved in the revolution, and then I was in prison for 10 months. So it was a step planned before, but I couldn't do it because of the circumstances in Egypt.
So later on today, you will give a lecture in the Kleine Synagoge. What will be the topics you will talk about this evening?
Actually, we are an Amnesty local group here in Erfurt. We are trying to raise awareness about human rights situation in other countries, and we are focusing now on Egypt and focusing on prisoners of conscience in Egypt. One of them is Albert Saber. He's one of the Egyptian activists being in prison now, and he is tried with blasphemy. He is now like for 3 months in prison, and he's not the only one. He's one of nearly 11 Egyptian citizens tried now or imprisoned with blasphemy. We will speak about human rights situation in general in Egypt and maybe in Middle East, considering the freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of expression, and we are trying to make things more obvious than the simple way usually described in the media. Also because Germany is a very important player in the international policy, and considering Egypt's situation and also through the European Union, and usually that affect situation in Egypt through economic or financial aids, and also through weapon exportations. So we believe that the German citizens should be more and more aware about the situation in Egypt and how they can influence the situation for the good of both nations.
What are your hopes for the future of Egypt?
I don't think this is a question. I want my country to be a free and democratic country which respects human rights and individual freedoms. I want to see my country as free and as democratic as Europe, as Germany.
Ralf, Du wolltest noch was sagen zur Gruppe Amnesty International. Wie seid ihr auf Michael gestoßen und was sind so eure Themen?
Also Michael ist ja von Amnesty International in seiner Zeit, als er verhaftet war, als er entsprechend, also als er in Ägypten tätig war, verfolgt wurde, betreut worden. Als Michael dann nach Deutschland gekommen ist, hat sich Amnesty mit um ihn gekümmert, sagen wir es mal so, drücken wir es so aus. Und Michael hatte dann entschieden, in Erfurt zu studieren, und da war es selbstverständlich, dass die Hochschulgruppe Michael aufnimmt. Und Michael hat aber dann auch gleich gesagt gehabt, er würde gerne auch eine Veranstaltung machen, um über die Situation in Ägypten hier in Erfurt zu erzählen, seine Erfahrungen darzulegen, um die Bevölkerung und die Leute hier in Erfurt darüber aufzuklären, mehr als das, was in den Medien steht oder was man in den Medien, also aus den Medien entnehmen kann. Und das haben wir gerne aufgenommen und haben das jetzt organisiert.
Und aus was für Mitgliedern generiert sich die Hochschulgruppe ansonsten?
Also die Hochschulgruppe ist überwiegend oder fast ausschließlich aus Studenten von der Universität Erfurt organisiert. Wir sind derzeit so ungefähr 10, 15 Studenten. Ich bin der einzige Nicht-Student, etwas älteren Datums. Mein Studium liegt schon etwas länger zurück. Und wir organisieren Filmabende, wo wir informieren über Menschenrechtsverletzungen oder andere Dinge, die zum Themenkomplex von Amnesty International gehören. Aber wir organisieren auch solche Abende wie heute, um aufzuklären. Und dann natürlich parallel noch das Übliche, was bei Amnesty International halt auch dazu gehört, was notwendig ist und was auch immer erfolgsversprechend ist, das sind Unterschriftenaktionen für Gefangene, für Verfolgte. Das sind Appelle an Regierungen, die Menschenrechte im Staat einzuhalten.
We are at the end of our talk now, at least from what I've prepared. Is there anything you would like to say? Maybe things I don't ask you and that are on your mind and you want to tell the audience?
Maybe I should add that with the globalization today, it's hard to separate between local and international things. And maybe I would like people to understand that you can't separate what's happening in Egypt on what's happening in Europe. I think what's happening in the Middle East is very essential for Europeans to understand and to know, and it's affecting the daily life of Europeans. And that's why I wish to see to have a huge discussion today with people who will come to my speech.
Und du, Ralf, möchtest du noch etwas abschließende Worte?
Also die Hochschulgruppe würde sich freuen, wenn auch im Anschluss an die Veranstaltung heute Abend oder auch grundsätzlich jetzt nicht nur Studenten in die Hochschulgruppe kommen, sondern auch Nichtstudenten, wenn Leute aus Erfurt sagen, ich würde mich gerne für Menschenrechte organisieren, ich würde mich gerne bei Amnesty International organisieren, sind sie gerne gesehen. Die Hochschulgruppe trifft sich regelmäßig dienstags im Café Hilgenfeld am Campus um 20 Uhr.